Welcome to the Inside Out Style Podcast with Imogen Lamport, your scientist of style. Each episode, you'll get real-world style advice for women of every size, shape, and age. And now, here's Imogen.
Hi, this is Imogen Lamport from Inside Out Style, coming to answer your colour and style questions. Today, Tricia has asked, having lived and worked in cities all my life, and now I'm retired and just moved to the country, how do I dress to not look scruffy but still fit in my casual wear without making others feel uncomfortable because I'm overdressed? This is a problem many women have told me that they have, particularly after retirement. So you're used to wearing office clothes and suddenly you're in casual wear all the time, and you can feel underdressed because you're so used to being more dressed up. But the lifestyle that you now have calls for a more casual, wardrobe. Then also we have the issue that we've moved from city to country, and usually country areas are more casual than city areas are. Particularly the bigger the city, generally the more formal it is. And the colder the city, that is the same as well. So when we are thinking about how do you dress in retirement, how do you, you know, dress when you've changed location from city to country, how do you dress when you prefer a more dressed up look and other people dress in a very casual manner? You don't want to dress really scruffy like them, but you also don't want to look overdressed. And so this is, I think, where it's working out some fabrics that you feel comfortable in that, you know, and fit too. If your clothes fit really well, they tend to look less scruffy. If they are sagging and baggy and loose and all those sorts of things, you can look scruffy very easily. So part of it is having good fit of your casual wear, just as you would look at that the same with your more formal wear, and not wearing the big oversized and the shapeless garments. An awful lot of really casual clothes, particularly the big kind of outdoor jackets and stuff, tend to be shapeless garments. So it's looking for those that have the sort of fit you're after. Just the other day, one of my clients was looking at a puffer jacket because it's winter here. And so she sent me some photos of herself and a few different options. And I said, well, things to look for in a puffer jacket is make sure it's got some waist shaping. It's not just a big old block. Look for things like diagonal seaming, where they've got the paneling with the puffy stuff in them, where they've quilted it, rather than horizontal. The wider the horizontal, the wider, you know, the bigger you tend to look, versus at least a narrow horizontal even is going to look more slimming and more attractive than a really wide horizontal. But if you can have a diagonal, that's even better because it tends to create more shaping. And then looking at where does it end on your body and what's it shaped like and is it bigger or smaller and all those sorts of things are going to come into it. So even within something as casual as a puffer jacket, there's still a lot of options for choosing the ones that look good on you. And so if you're looking at a raincoat and a jacket and all those sorts of things, you don't have to settle for the really kind of masculine, kind of boxy sort of garments. That would be a number one tip. Also looking at, even if it's things like everybody's wearing polo shirts or flannelette, those sorts of things, looking for shaping or going, that's not my thing. I don't have to wear that. Just because everybody around you is wearing very casual clothes doesn't mean you have to. But you still need to be you and you still need to be comfortable and you still need to be appropriate for the environment. So you still need wash and wear clothes. So you don't want to necessarily get around in your silk or your, definitely not a taffeta ball gown. So you might still look at, you know, what's a good pair of jeans that's comfortable, that looks good, that fits well. Or some other sort of pant that's in that same sort of level of refinement, a more casual level of refinement. Then looking at your shoes, what kind of shoes do you choose? Now, you know, if you're out hiking, of course, we want something that's very practical. But if we're just getting around, you know, in your local area, local shops or whatever, it doesn't have to be a hiking boot. It could be something that's got, excuse me, a thinner sole or something that makes it more comfortable, but it's not as kind of chunky and industrial or outdoor leisure as your hiking boots sort of thing might be. There are a lot of different options. It's, you know, so I think it's really comes down to looking at the location, your lifestyle, what you're doing, but then also adapting clothes. You know, it doesn't mean you have to give up wearing accessories. It doesn't mean you have to give up wearing fitted clothing that just everything's big and chunky or very masculine. And particularly if you're more feminine, you'll find that really casual wear can feel quite uncomfortable because it feels sloppy. It doesn't feel feminine. It hasn't got the softness. So it's looking for, well, what are the things I like in my clothes? And maybe it's, I need something in a floral pattern. It's not just plain and it's not checks. Just because checks are out there doesn't mean you have to wear them. So I think it's looking at all those sort of aspects of clothing and your requirements and kind of deciding. And two is, are you happy to be a little bit overdressed? Now, most people are okay when they're with someone who's a bit overdressed. If you're dressed in a ball gown and they're all dressed in, you know, jeans and sneakers, that can feel a little bit out of balance. But just being a little bit better dressed, you know what often happens, I find, in these environments, that other people go, oh, she's always very stylish. And often it raises the overall level of the people around you. If they start admiring you in your style, sometimes other people actually try and match it. One of the things I remember noticing when my kids were young, probably my daughter was probably about two, and I was with a, you know, mother's group sort of thing. And everybody was in their tracksuits and sneakers and sloppy yoga pants and all those sorts of things. It got very dressed down. But I started wearing just, I mean, they're from Target, just, but a pair of kind of dress pants from Target and a leather shoe, probably a ballet flat or something like that, instead of the sneakers. And what I noticed is a short while later, a lot of the other mums started just dressing up that little bit, that it stopped being the sneakers and the yoga pants or the tracksuit pants. It started being a nicer pair of jeans and a more fitted top. Like, it stopped being quite so casual, and it was almost like people want somebody to be the leader, somebody to say you don't have to dress quite as sloppy as this, and so therefore it allows other people to kind of, the ones who want to dress up will start to dress up a bit. So that is also something to think about, because of course it's very personal. Style is such a personal thing. What you feel comfortable wearing, it's so personal, these things. So only you can decide what it is that is right for you and your environment. But it is something to think about. And then, of course, as you're purging your wardrobe, because that's one of the big things that happens when we move and we've gone from, you know, working to retired, we've then got the purging the wardrobe. What do you keep? What do you get rid of? So you get rid of the really obvious things that, you know, am I ever going to wear a suit again? And who knows if you're even wearing them. But, you know, it is that kind of thing. Get rid of the really obvious things. But then it's, how can I adapt all my other clothes to be more casual? And so this is where, you know, you can still wear, you know, a really nice way of wearing a dressy blazer can be just with a pair of jeans and a t-shirt, but maybe a little scarf, something that goes with it. So you can easily dress up and down. You might have something that you bought for a formal occasion. Will I ever wear it again? But I've spent all the money on it. Maybe you can turn that satin jacket into something you wear with your jeans, and it just, you know, and you can wear it out at night, or you can wear it just for fun. So it's looking at and try wearing a lot of the things that you have in your wardrobe and deciding whether or not they still are something you could wear with your new lifestyle, or it is something you go, you know, this just says the office. If you've got like a grey pencil skirt and a, you know, a wool, that's probably not going to be something you're going to wear in the country so much. But of course, if you're more creative, you might put that with something more unusual and turn it into something that you wear there. But it could be something that goes, it just screams office and it's too much. But a pair of dress pants or a funky blazer, all those sorts of things, even a classic blazer works really well with jeans and can be dressed up and down. So part of it is deciding what your new style is. It could be time to find a new style recipe and then start working out which clothes fit your new style recipe for your new life. Before, as you are trying to purge your wardrobe, because it is a big thing going through sort of these sort of life changes, don't make any decisions too quickly. One of the things you could think about is put some clothes away for a while. And the things you think you're not going to want, put them away for a while, maybe put them in some boxes, see how you go with the other stuff, and then notice what you are and aren't wearing. If you haven't worn something in 6 months, maybe that's the thing to let go, or a year, depending on your weather, of course. You know, that's going to tell you to let something go. Or you could be, you know, like you might could be going, I need to go through those boxes to get that thing because I'm really missing that garment. That's going to tell you that that's something that was really integral as part of your wardrobe. And I've got a few blog posts on little techniques to work out, you know, how often you wear something. You can do the simple turn the hanger around. You can use the bread tag or some other sort of tie, or, you know, there's all sorts of different ways to go. If I've worn it, I need to put, you know, it's like the bread bag tag, put one of those on the hanger. And that tells you how frequently you wear it or if you've ever worn it. So if you turn all your hangers around the wrong way, then notice what you're wearing, and then at the end of a period of time you can reassess the things that haven't been worn. Or You can do, you know, a style challenge where you challenge yourself to wear a different garment every day. Like one of the garments you're wearing is something that hasn't been worn. And to see if you still like this garment, if this garment works for you in this new environment and for your new lifestyle. So that's another thing. And that can be your own personal little style challenge. It's got nothing to do with anybody else, but it's just a way of forcing yourself to try things on, wear things, and then helps you make decisions about whether they really fits into your new life or it doesn't. So hopefully that's just a few tips for you. Hopefully that's going to give you a little bit of assistance with this big lifestyle change that you've had. Next question. Leanne said, how to find the undertone of greys and taupes? So now here we have, I've just got a few little drapes here, but when we are looking at greys, there's just a few greys here. You'll notice that these are all kind of grey sorts of colours, but they are different from each other. And this is why grey is so hard to match. It's because when we're looking at greys, greys are actually a really grey down version of a colour. Very few greys are just pure black and white. And this means we've got different versions. This is one's got a purple undertone. This is obviously blue. This is actually a taupey brown one. This is a more greeny one. This is much more a kind of bluey white one, but very light, a lot of white in that one. So when we're looking at this range of greys and taupes, it's the, what's the kind of undertone? So what you could do is just put another color with it. So go, I'm going to run a blue next to these and see if one of them goes really well with it. Cause you'll probably find a blue gray will go really well with blue. A green will go better with a green gray. A yellow will go better with a taupey gray. That could give you an idea of how to find the undertone of those. And of course, if you have a color palette and a color swatch, you can use that to go, does it go with it? It doesn't really matter usually what the undertone is if it goes with the swatch as a whole. If you go, I don't mind those colors with this, go, well, it can either be warm or cool, and that's really all I need to know. Now, taupe is, it's a crossover color. It's a universal color because it's got the gray, which is cool, and the taupe, the brown, which is warm because it's a brown gray. So this actually ends up being an undertone, you know, a crossover color, but you'll sometimes get some more greeny ones, some more yellowy ones, like depending on what they are. But you know, this is why grey is such a hard colour to mix and match with other things, with other greys. Other colours, it's often quite easy, but other greys, it can be really quite tricky. And that is because there are so many different undertone options that it might have. So this is why it's much easier to mix grey with pink or grey with blue or grey with green or something like that. But then you'll find that the undertone of those greys still matters depending on what version you are looking at. So you could just use your swatch and look at the different colours and go, which, you know, greys does this colour go with? Because maybe that's giving you an indication of what that undertone is. Last question for today comes from Christine, who says, I'm struggling to find my style now that I've retired. Another one who's retired. And I no longer need a work wardrobe, and I've lots to and need to weed out. So I've kind of covered a bunch of this already. Already today, where I've talked about thinking about weeding out your wardrobe and how to, you know, make some decisions. So part of it is wearing the clothes or not wearing them and noticing what you're not wearing. You could put a whole lot of clothes away, put them in another room, put them in a box, decide what to keep, what to get rid of. I mean, Jill does this too, where she puts things on probation. So she puts them away, but they're not gone for a while to make sure that they are really something she wants to get rid of. And I do the same sort of thing where I'll put them in a bag. And after a while, like, they don't go for a while. But then once, like, if I've not missed them for a while, if I've not missed them in weeks or months, then I probably am not wearing them anyway, or they're not part of my new life. If I can't think of a new way, so this is where doing that sort of style challenge, if I can't think of that new way to wear them, if I can't think of different outfits for my new casual lifestyle, then absolutely I might go, well, maybe this piece no longer has a place in my wardrobe. You know, if I don't love wearing them. So the easiest thing, and this is the thing I go, like, when I'm going through a wardrobe, one of the first things I go is, show me what you're not wearing. Now, very often the things you are already not wearing are pieces that either have got dated and old, they don't fit terribly well, they're not comfortable for some reason or other, yet we hold on to them because everything that we have bought already has value. So there's a lot emotionally and psychologically that's going on with our stuff. But It's the easiest things to get rid of are the things that you are probably not wearing anyway, and there's usually a good reason. And this is why knowledge is power. The more you know about the colors that suit you, your contrasts, how you like to put things together, your style recipe, your personality, your body shape, proportions, scale, fit, fabrics, all those sorts of things that I go in my 7 Steps of Style program. You know, we go and we learn those things so you can create your own personal style guidebook. Knowledge is power. It really does help you go, oh, this is why I don't wear this thing. Great, not my thing. Let it go. It really is very freeing to have that set of criteria that you can use to run past all the pieces that you have in your existing wardrobe, as well as if you are buying something. So do think about, you know, that knowledge and what you have. Create your own personal style guidebook and then start looking at each of your pieces and going, does this piece still fit? Can I make outfits out of it? Does it go with at least 3 or 4 other things? I think, you know, most of us want a versatile wardrobe. Most of us want that great cost per wear. Does it go with anything else in my wardrobe? Can I put things together with it? And then, you know, it helps you go, well, this is a great piece that earns its place in my wardrobe. Versus the pieces that you might go, I can only wear it in one outfit and it's very limiting. Then maybe they're not the pieces you want to keep. And if the color's really wrong and it doesn't make you look great, are you keeping it because you spent a whole lot of money on it? Or, you know, because often what happens, particularly when we really start to see which colors make us look great, we can then start going, I just don't feel as good in these other colors. Even though we might think, oh, but I'm going to keep it and I'll wear it anywhere and I'll put a scarf with it to make it work or whatever reason. But we just don't feel as good in it. And so therefore we start shunning it. It stops being our best friend and it's, you know, like left in the wardrobe. So stop keeping it, like let those things go. So have your criteria that allows you to decide what you want to keep and what you want to get rid of. Know what your lifestyle is. How are you spending your time? What do you need in your wardrobe? All these things are really important to know. And, you know, I always remember a client telling me that, you know, she'd had a lifestyle. She'd been married to a man and they went to a lot of balls. They got divorced. And she said, it took me 2 years to stop buying ball gowns because I no longer went to balls, but because in the past I'd always needed ball gowns. Therefore, I was always looking for them. They were on my radar. And it took me 2 years to realize this is a complete waste of time and energy and money because this is not my lifestyle anymore. So kind of adapting to your new lifestyle can take you time and that's okay. Treat yourself gently. It's important to, you know, to look after yourself and have a level of self-care and not beat yourself up about bad decisions that you might have made in the past. But then start to think, well, as I'm moving forward, what do I want? What is going to work for me in my future? You know, can I imagine wearing these clothes again? Can I imagine, you know, putting this together with something? Will I want to wear this again? So even though sometimes things have been favorites for other parts of your life, maybe it's just not you in the future. It's you of the past and that was great, but it's not you in the future. So there's lots of different things you can ask yourself. And I've got some blog posts of questions to ask yourself about. Should you keep it? Should you throw it out? And all those sorts of things. And then think about putting some of those clothes on probation before you get rid of them. And then notice if you miss them or not. And if you're not missing them, what happens is when we're not seeing them in the wardrobe, it becomes much easier to let them go because we're not immediately attached to them in the same way. And in fact, you know, if you haven't missed them for a while and they've been in a box or a bag, don't go through the bag before you decide to get rid of the bag. Just get rid of the bag because, you know, then it'll be gone. Because if you've not missed it in however long a period you've decided it was going to be, then you're not going to miss it anymore, most likely. But don't just immediately get rid of things, because sometimes this is where it can be, if you haven't got good help, like someone like me helping you make those decisions. This is where often mistakes happen, where people throw it all out and then go, oh, but I loved that thing for some reason or other, or I could have fixed it, or it was, you know, an event I've got to go to and now I have nothing of that category. There's all sorts of things to think about when we're thinking about purging our wardrobe and what to keep and what to get rid of and how to do these sorts of things. And there's no one right way. And I think that's a really important thing to remember. There's no one right way of making these decisions. But I think, you know, to me, knowledge is power. The more you empower yourself with great knowledge, the better your choices and decisions will be, because they're not coming from a place of just, you know, lack of information. They're coming from a place of going, well, this is what I like, and these are the kind of fabrics I like, and this is what I like to put together, and all those sorts of things, and this is what flatters me and makes me look great, and, you know, what I want to wear moving into the future. That can really help you when you have that information to make some great decisions. So thanks for these questions. Please do send me more for my pot. And I will, you know, Imogen at insideoutstyleblog.com. And of course, head over to the blog. Lots of great information there as well. Lots of things you can search up and look for. There's thousands and thousands of posts there. So I've probably covered at some stage or other something that you're thinking. So feel free to search that up and see what's already there. But of course, do send me your questions to answer in an upcoming video. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Inside Out Style with Imogen Lamport. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more actionable style and color tips. And don't forget to visit insideoutstyleblog.com, where you will discover Imogen's encyclopedia of color and style advice to help you become your most stylish self. If you're enjoying what's here, please leave a review so we can bring you more of the content that helps you adore your wardrobe more, so you can get up, get dressed, and get out the door looking and feeling fabulous every single day.